and don't allow anger to cause you to sin. So anger in itself is an emotion and isn't a sin, but it can lead to sin, as we saw last week. The next verse says, neither give place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27. And that is the commandment we'll start with this morning. Neither give place to the devil. In other words, what? Resist the devil. And so we'll study that together. But first, let's pray and we'll get started. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of studying your word and pray now that you would use it in our hearts to teach us, to grow us, Lord. We just pray that Jesus would be magnified, the Holy Spirit would guide us into truth. We give you this service in Jesus' name. Amen. So neither give place to the devil. The Bible tells us that we are to resist the devil. That is a command. Amen. And we need to follow it. So let's look at some scriptures. Brother Jim, we'll start with you. Ephesians 6:11, Howard, James 4:7, and Philip, 1 Peter 5:8 and 9. So let's look at what the Bible has to say about neither giving place to or resisting the devil. Brother Scott, Ephesians 6:11.
Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Amen. Stand against the wiles of the devil. Brother Howard, James 4:7.
Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Resist the devil. Amen. And Philip, 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. So most of us know 5:8, or at least of 5:8, right? Be sober, be vigilant, your adversary the devil. But look at the next verse. Whom resist? Steadfast in the faith. So again, resist the devil, stand against the devil, neither give place to the devil. So we are commanded as God's children to resist him. So to not be passive about it, but to consciously resist him when he attacks us. And he will. We just read that, right? Seeking whom he may devour. So, how do we do that? Before we move on to the next commandment, how do we resist the devil?
Advising God.
Okay, Jan, thank you. Anybody else? Kevin? The Word of God. Thank you. I was hoping someone would say that. When Jesus was tempted in the desert, he was being attacked by the devil. Amen? 40 days, 40 nights. Can you imagine? In the desert, no food. And then he was attacked. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, only did one thing, didn't he? What did he do? He quoted Scripture. Every time the devil tempted him, all he did was say, "It is written." And he quoted Scripture. We get to Ephesians 6, which we looked at recently when we were commanded to put on the whole armor of God. The Bible says that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Amen? It's a sword. And so, using the example of our Savior, we resist the devil with the powerful two-edged sword of the Word of God. Amen? It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the sword of the Spirit. And we need to resist the devil with God's Word. Now, the devil knows God's Word, but he also hates it. That's kind of a weird combination, but that's just the way it is. So we are commanded, my brothers and sisters, to resist the devil. And that is puts it on us to know the sword, amen, so that we have the ammunition to resist when we are attacked by the devil. And that takes us back to one of the commandments, which was to have the Word of God in our hearts. So any thoughts or questions about that beautiful and wonderful and very important command to resist the devil? Ephesians 4:27. Thoughts? Questions? All right, we'll move on. Ephesians 4:30. We're secure in Christ. He cannot take us to hell.
So we saw the devil attack Jesus. Basically, he's just after to destroy the testimony of Christ. Destroy the testimony.
when we are the Christian.
That's right.
To enable us, in a sense. So he's not, I know he's attacking us and tempting us and so forth, but basically it's in a sense to ruin our testimony, to the sense that our word is maybe,
Yep. He basically has two main goals. Well, three. Three main goals. Relative to this age, the church age, he has two main goals. Number one, as Brother Mark said, to keep Christians from being effective, ruining our testimony, making us give up, attacking us, wanting us to give in to temptation, whatever. But essentially, trying to make sure that Christians are not effective Christians, so they don't make a difference for the cause of Christ, okay? Relative to the unsaved, what's his goal? Based on Scripture. What's his focus when it comes to the unsaved? Thank you, Brad. The Bible says he blinds people's minds. He tries to keep people from getting saved by blinding their minds. And so those are his two main goals during this age. Now we know his overall main goal, which we read about in Isaiah, is what? To be worshipped as God. And he will enjoy it for just a tiny little season during the tribulation period when he has the world tricked into thinking that he is God. For a short time, people will worship him as God. But that, of course, is short-lived, because then right after that, Jesus comes back, puts him into the bottomless pit, and sets up his kingdom. But for now, that's what he's after. He's after Christians to keep us from being effective. He's after the unsaved to keep them from hearing and believing God's gospel. But we, as God's children, as we know, he attacks us in many ways. He knows what our besetting sin is. We read in 2 Corinthians 10 about he attacks our thought life. We're to resist him. And there's nothing more powerful to resist the devil with than the sword of the Word of God. Any other questions, comments? All right, Ephesians 4:30. Very important truth. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. If you're born again, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? He lives in you. He lives in each of us. But he is holy. That's his name. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Ghost. Therefore, he can be grieved with unholiness. Amen? Sin. Now we're commanded to not grieve the Holy Spirit. And if we do grieve the Holy Spirit, then our effectiveness is affected, because we now can't listen to him and be led by him as we're commanded to be, which we've already looked at. So this is very important, that we grieve not God's Holy Spirit. So let's look at some scriptures. We understand this. Beryl, Romans 8:14. Mark, Zeus, Romans 8:16. Go to this side. Brad, Galatians 5:16. Jackie, Ephesians 5:18. And the clincher, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, Maggie. So we'll start over here. Whoever I picked on first, Beryl, Romans 8:14. So is it God's will that we be led by the Spirit? Absolutely. Can he lead us if he's grieved? No, because we can't hear him. So that's why it's so important that we don't grieve him. All right, Romans 8:16, Brother Mark. So again, notice that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit, which was dead before we were saved, and then it was quickened, that we are the children of God. So he speaks to us through our spirit. Okay, Galatians 5:16.
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
And so we've looked at this already as a command to walk in the Spirit. That means what? That he is leading our steps. We can't do that if we can't hear him, if he's grieved. And then Ephesians 5:18.
And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
So we're not only commanded to walk in the Spirit, but we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. which means we're emptied of everything else. Amen? But again, that's not effective if he's grieved. And then the clincher, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, Maggie?
Quench not the Spirit.
Quench not the Spirit. Everybody knows what happens when you pour water on a fire. Amen? That's what the word quench means. And so the Holy Spirit can be quenched with sin. He can be grieved with sin. And it is our duty as God's children to not grieve him, to not quench him. And if we do, what do we need to do about it? If we know the Holy Spirit's grieved because of our behavior, because our prayer life is not effective anymore, the Holy Spirit's not leading us anymore, what do we have to do?
Confess.
Repent. We have to get it right. The Holy Spirit is holy. He always does the right thing. So he doesn't have to change anything, but we do. Amen? We have to get right. We have to confess it. And we have to forsake it and praise God. If we do, he is faithful and just to forgive. Praise God. That's the God that we serve. A loving, forgiving, faithful God. So grieve not the Holy Spirit. That's number 116 for those of you that are counting. Any questions, comments before we go to Ephesians 4:32? Jackie.
That quench not the Spirit, does it also mean not necessarily just not quenching the Spirit within ourselves, but be careful we don't quench the Spirit in other Christians' lives? But, you know, because sometimes you'll have someone who's maybe being led by the Lord to, say, go into missions, and then you could come, oh, you know, you just maybe be careful about that, and, you know, so doubt into their minds and that.
It would be. I don't think that's, I mean, you could definitely take that and apply it to our Christian walk, but it's the Holy Spirit it's talking about there. Quench not the Holy Spirit, because it's capital S. I know what you're saying, and we did look at the command about offending our brothers or hurting their testimony from 1 Corinthians, and definitely we're commanded to not do that. So, yeah, you could definitely apply it. I think the direct doctrine application has to do with us personally not quenching the Holy Spirit who indwells us. But definitely that would apply. Any other thoughts or questions before we go to the verse 32? All right, so for verse 32, we've already looked at the command to be kind. We looked at the command to be forgiving. But we haven't looked at the command to be tenderhearted. So this is a new one, a new virtue that we're to have. And we'll look at the summary again next week as we've started to group them together. So, be ye kind one to another, tender hearted. That word tender hearted, if you go to 1 Peter 3:8, is also translated from the same Greek word as pitiful. Not in the negative sense, like that's pitiful. But what do you think it means for us to be pitiful? 1 Peter 3:8, be ye of one mind, having compassion one another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. What does that mean, to be pitiful or tender-hearted? Any thoughts? Those are the two English words coming from that Greek word. Kevin? Okay, that's good. Anybody else? Tender-hearted and pitiful.
I know one. Be kind to each other.
Yes, we're always to be kind one to another. Kelvin? Okay. So that word tender-hearted, that Greek word doesn't show up but these two times, tender-hearted and pitiful. And that is a command for us as Christians. So we need to be always tender-hearted, which means we're always sensitive, as Kelvin said, to others and their hurts, their wants, their needs, which we've already seen commands to meet others' needs and be a blessing to others and so forth, lift them up and help them. But this is a special word that God's given us, that we're to be tender-hearted and pitiful. And of course, that has to do with others. We know that by the context, right? Verse 32, everything else in that verse is about others. Be kind and be forgiving. So be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. It all has to do with how we treat other people. So we're to be tender-hearted. Any thoughts or questions about number 117? All right, number 118 is over in chapter 5, verse 4. We thought this might occur sooner, but here it is. Be thankful. That's a command. Amen? Be thankful. So let's look at a bunch of scriptures on this. This is a big one in the New Testament. Ephesians 5:4. I'm going to start over, Brother Jim. So you do Ephesians 5:4. Howard, Ephesians 5:20. Philip, Philippians 4:6. Beryl, Colossians 2:7. Mark, Colossians 3:15. Brad, Colossians 3:17. Jackie, Colossians 4:2. Maggie, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Did I miss any of my willing readers? Who else is willing to read? I got two verses left. Sarah, 1 Timothy 2:1. Anybody else? I got one more. I can always read it. Kelvin, Hebrews 13:15. Okay. So let's get back to the beginning. Ephesians 5:4, Brother Jim.
Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks.
Giving of thanks. Okay. Ephesians 5:20.
Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Did you see those two A words? Always and all? Those are big words in the Bible. Amen? Always for all things. That's a high calling. All right. Philippians 4:6. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Colossians 2:7. Abounding with thanksgiving. Brother Mark? Colossians 3:15.
Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful.
Be ye thankful. Colossians 3:17.
And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
Amen. Colossians 4:2.
Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving.
And 1 Thessalonians 5:18.
In everything give thanks, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
And 1 Timothy 2:1. And Hebrews 13:15.
By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
I love that last one. God says that when we give thanks to his name, that it is a sacrifice of praise. Isn't that beautiful? And we often think about how can I make a sacrifice unto the Lord? The Old Testament, they would bring an animal, right? Well, how can we do that? Well, God says that when we give thanks, I believe especially when we give thanks for the trials that he brings into our life, it is a sacrifice of praise. And God says we're to do it how often? Continually. Hebrews 13:15, continually. And where we started, where it talks about all things, everything, all the time. So we are commanded as God's children to always be thankful. And this goes back to the nature of God, doesn't it? Because what we're saying is that God is always good, right? If we're unthankful, what we're really saying is God's made a mistake. Or God isn't good and those things are not true. So by giving thanks, we're also acknowledging that our God is always good. Because everything he allows in our lives, it's his will. It's what's good for us. It's what he has planned for us. Therefore, we should be thankful no matter what it is. That's a beautiful command, number 118. Be thankful for all things. All things. All right. Any questions, comments about number 118? Be thankful for all things. All quiet.
We shall be very thankful.
That's right.
We shall be very thankful. Have we got food on the table?
Amen, Jan. Thank you. All right. Let's go to 5:15 then. We talked about the need to walk worthy, but now God says we're to walk circumspectly. That's a good Bible word, isn't it? See then that you walk circumspectly. And he gives us a little hint about what that means when he says, not as fools, but as wise. So circumspectly means diligently or wisely. God expects when we walk that we do it very carefully, diligently, wisely. We're to walk circumspectly. And as we'll see, this is a very important commandment for us because it means that we need to have wisdom to be able to do that. And we can only get wisdom from one place. Amen? And that's from the source of all true wisdom, which is God's Word. So we're to walk in accordance with or being protected by or guided by God's Word. Walk circumspectly. So let's see what the Bible has to say about this. We'll look two verses down. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. So the contrast is to be unwise. So God is saying, I want you to walk wisely or carefully or diligently. Whenever you walk, I want you to do it with wisdom. And so let's look at some scriptures. 1 Corinthians 14:20, Brother Scott. Colossians 1:9, Howard. Colossians 3:16, Philip. Colossians 4:5, Beryl. And Mark, James 3:13. So Brother Scott, 1 Corinthians 14:20.
Brethren, be not children in understanding, albeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men.
So in understanding be men. Amen? All right, Colossians 1:9.
For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Wisdom and spiritual understanding. Colossians 3:16.
The word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Richly in all wisdom. Colossians 4:5, Beryl. And James 3:13, Mark.
Who is a wise man and endured with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation.
Amen. So God wants us to walk circumspectly or diligently or wisely. That is how we are to be conducting ourselves and as we are taking the steps of our Christian life, spiritually speaking and literally, we're to be doing it circumspectly. Good command. That's number 119. Any questions, comments? All right, number 120 is Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time. So most of you know what the word redeem means. What's it mean? To buy back. Yep. God redeemed us from the devil and from sin with the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? God says we're to redeem the time. What does he mean by that? Kevin?
Think about how many hours in the day come through and vote for the Lord.
Right, make full use of it. The opposite would be what? Wasting it, right? Wasting it on always on self, wasting it on sin. God says, no, I want you to redeem the time. Because first of all, you don't know how much you have. We don't know. We might only have one more day. So use it for him. Amen? As much as possible, redeem the time. And he said it again, if you look over in Colossians 4:5, which somebody just read, he says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. So there he says it again, redeem the time. There's a lot about this in the Old Testament. We're not looking at Old Testament verses for this study. But there are some other scriptures. So 1 Peter 1:17, Jackie, and 1 Peter 4:2, Brad. So redeeming the time, 1 Peter 1:17.
And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's will, pass the time of your sojourning here and here.
So pass the time of your sojourning or your living here in fear. The fear of the Lord. Amen? Pass the time in fear. 1 Peter 4, 2, Brad.
That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the fish for the lust of men, but to the will of God.
So God says that once we're saved, we can't do anything about the past. We've already lived our time to the flesh and to the lusts of men. But once we are saved, we're to live it to the will of God. His time. Whatever time he has left, he's to live it to the will of God. That's us. So God commands us to redeem the time. And there's a lot of parables in the New Testament to teach us about how much God hates waste. Amen? So any thoughts or questions about this beautiful command, number 120, redeem the time. All right, you'll like the next one, number 121, Ephesians 5:19, and that is we're to sing. Amen? We're to sing. That's a command. Aren't you glad, Sarah? Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So let's be careful. This verse itself, is it talking about congregational singing in church? Is that what it says? No. First of all, it says speaking to yourselves. So that says speaking, not singing. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But then it says singing and making melody where? In your heart. You see, God doesn't just want us to sing in church. He wants us to sing all week. Amen? He wants us to get a song. And he wants us to sing that song in our hearts. Singing is good for us. Singing the right things, of course. And there's at least two other scriptures that teach us this. So let's look at Colossians 3:16. I'll go ahead and read it. And it's interesting that both of these verses talk about singing in your heart more than about singing congregationally. So notice Colossians 3:16, which we looked at earlier. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But then it says singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Isn't that good? Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then go to James 5:13. So we are commanded. This is Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We're commanded to sing. Those of you who can't sing very well, I'm sorry, but it's a command. So do it in your heart. And nobody's ears will be hurt. But it'll bring glory to God. That's the point, isn't it? James 5:13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Isn't that good? Let him sing. Now, there is scripture about congregational singing. If you go to Hebrews 2 and verse 12, God quotes an Old Testament verse and brings it into the New Testament church. Hebrews 2:12, he says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. So we are to be singing praises to the Lord congregationally, and they did in the Bible all through. But we're also be singing in our hearts. This is important, that we find a song that means something to us, that speaks to us, and we sing it. Music is powerful. The devil was a musical being. The Bible talks about his vials and his pipes in Ezekiel chapter 28. And you remember when Saul was troubled by an evil spirit. How did the evil spirit get dealt with? David would play on an instrument, and it would make the evil spirit leave. And in the Old Testament, while they were singing, the glory of God came down and filled the temple. There's a lot in the Bible about singing. But God wants us to sing, obviously, to Him. When He says psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, He's saying that needs to be that type of singing, right? Spiritual songs, hymns, psalms. Psalms is the psalms. In other words, singing the word of God or singing songs that are spiritual, that build up our spirit. So God wants us to be singing. all week long with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And that's a command. So we all need to be singing. That's number 121. Any thoughts or questions about that one? We'll probably have to stop there because we were about to dive into the